Let's go ahead and stand back up one more time tonight. Didn't you enjoy the good singing this evening? Amen. I tell you what, that's worth the drive all the way down here to hear that good singing tonight. And I appreciate the Lord allowing us to be able to be together tonight. And if you're like me, it's just good to be anywhere. Somebody say amen. And joy it is. I want you to take your Bible tonight, if you would, Acts chapter number 27 tonight. The book of Acts chapter number 27 tonight. It is a familiar passage of the Word of God tonight, but I want you to look with me, if you would, for just a few moments. Acts chapter number 27, and I want to read a few verses to you tonight from the Word of God, but I want you to stay in this chapter tonight. I'm going to be going through and looking at some things here in chapter 27. I want you to stay with me tonight, if you would, and I believe the Lord will bless that and honor that this evening. Acts chapter number 27, let's just begin tonight from the Word of God. I'm going to kind of go through some places here. We'll skip around a little bit, but let's look tonight, if you would. I tell you what, let's begin at verse number 10. The Bible said, and this is Paul speaking, said unto them, "Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. Because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, by any means they might attain to Phoenicia and there to winter, which is in haven of Crete, and life toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing they had obtained their purpose, loosening thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after there arose against it tumultuous wind called Euroclydon. When the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive." Now I'm going to stay in the entire chapter tonight of chapter number 27. And I want to share with you some things tonight in chapter 27 that you find in the Word of God, and preach a few moments tonight on this thought. Statements made in the storm. Statements made in the storm. Let's bow together tonight and pray. Father, thank you so much tonight, Lord, for the wonderful, wonderful singing we have already enjoyed tonight. Thank you, God, tonight for the choir taking time to come over from Greensboro to be in the meeting tonight. Lord, we thank you, God, for Brother Blaylock and the folks there, and pray your blessings would be upon them. Lord, we do pray tonight you'll bless this camp meeting, Lord, as I do my small part. I pray, Lord, that you just help me to preach tonight the Word of God. And Lord, I pray you'd guard my lips, and I pray I'd say that, Lord, which would bring glory to your name. Lord, I do pray tonight for those that are in leadership here, those pastors that are doing their best to continue this camp meeting and continue even in these difficult days. And I pray that you bless them and touch them and have your will and way in the service tonight. We'll thank you for all you do for us, for we ask you all these things in Christ's name. And all God's people said, you can be seated tonight. Well, I'm glad to see you out on a Monday night here in the most interesting year that we have ever lived in our lives. But I'm glad tonight that we can be here under a tabernacle, and we can be here tonight to worship God and to lift up the Lord and to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just say this to you real quickly about Wednesday night. I appreciate the fellas here. I told them that I needed to be back home on Wednesday night at my church some months ago. I didn't know we'd even be going through all this when I told them that. But anyway, if you have never heard Brother David Epps, you do not want to miss Wednesday night. Brother Epps is without a doubt my wife's favorite preacher, and that includes me. She loves to hear Brother Epps preach, and I'm telling you, you might cry one minute. I promise you, you'll laugh a lot, and you will enjoy Brother David Epps. What a great preacher, a great man. We support him, have been for many years through our mission program, and you'll enjoy Brother Epps. steps on Wednesday night. Just for a few moments tonight, I want to look in chapter 27, and I want to share with you tonight some statements that you find in the storm. Some statements you find in the middle of the storm. I guess you could say tonight, for a lot of us as churches, and a lot of us especially as pastors, and a lot of us in leadership, we have been through somewhat of a storm in the last several months. Matter of fact, I was preaching a meeting in March of this year. I was down in Florida at Harmony Baptist Church in Plant City, Florida, and I was preaching a meeting. As we left that meeting, all of the Disney parks were being closed and everything was being shut down, and it began what we know today as this pandemic that we have been in. By the time my wife and I got home from Florida and got back from that meeting, many things had changed. My schedule had changed. A lot of things had changed at my church, and they continue to change even up to now. Also, I began to think about this. I began to think about how that this storm came on our land. And no doubt it has been a storm. You're looking at a pastor tonight that had 72 people in my congregation with COVID-19. Two deaths and one man in the hospital for 70 days and was just able to come to church 2 weeks ago and be back. So I know a little bit about this storm. You say, preacher, so what are y'all doing? We having church on Sunday and we worshiping God and we're living for God and we're going on for God and we're going to continue to do so. Amen. We might have to be a little safer and we might have to fellowship a little farther away, but I want to say this to you. He was God before it. He's God in it, and He'll be God when it's over, and we're just going to trust God that God would continue to work in our lives. But when you think about this chapter 27, you know that Paul is a prisoner on this ship, and you know that Paul is headed for a destination. But you also know that Paul seemed to always, no matter where he was, have an audience with God. It didn't matter where Paul was, he had an audience with God. God touched the Apostle Paul and God used him greatly. Now tonight, as we look at this chapter, I'm going to find here four or five statements in the Word of God that you find in the middle of Euryclidon. Are you fine in the middle of the storm? First of all, I want you tonight, if you would, to look at verse number 21 of chapter number 27. In verse number 21, after they're in the middle of this storm, here's what we find. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me." I want you to notice the first statement that we find in the middle of the storm is spoken by the Apostle Paul. He said, "Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me." Let me say it like this tonight. What Paul said was simply this: you should have listened to the preacher. He should have listened to the preacher. Now, where does that all come from? Well, go back in chapter 27. And look, if you would, in verse number 10. The Bible says, "And Paul said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading of the ship, but also of our lives." But look at verse 11. "Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul." Can I say this to you tonight? What what I find here in the middle of the storm was that the ones that were going to go through the storm, that were going to find themselves in the storm, were not listening to the man of God, but they were listening to everybody else. And friend, can I tell you this? If there's ever been a day and time, right now we ought to listen to the man of God. We ought to listen to the word of God. We ought to listen to that trumpet and that voice that sounded out from the pulpit. It is right now. Friend, we need to listen and hearken to God's men. Amen. I appreciate the scientists. Thank God for people that I guess have a little knowledge. I appreciate politicians. Bless their heart. I appreciate all of that. I appreciate a little bit of all those that try to give us information. I'm trying to appreciate the governor, but I'm struggling. But I want to say this without a shadow of a doubt. I know one thing, a better word than the governor has, a better word than the scientists have, a better word than the newscaster has, is this word that I hold in my hand. It is the word of God. It is God's word. And friend, we need to hearken unto the word of God. Amen. In the middle of the storm's not time to quit listening to preaching. Amen. Now, I know some of you have had to listen to preaching on your phone. I'm so tired of preaching to a phone, it made me sick. Amen. Listen, I'm telling you what, I broke everything in my study at home trying to preach in that little room. But I want you to know tonight, sometimes, listen, I mean, I've never preached to cars in my life and had people blow horns. And I got one man that's dying of Lou Gehrig's disease. His wife just died and went to glory, served God many years, faithful, loved God, served God on the mission field. And while I was preaching, he was sitting in his car and stuck a stick out the window with a white hanky on it and started waving it out the window and praising God. I've seen all kind of things in the last little while, but I'm going to tell you one thing that I know that stands consistent and does not change. God said His word is forever settled in heaven. Amen. I hope I know the way things are going to go in November. I hope it goes away, and I can't tell you who to vote for, but just vote for the Republican of your choice. Amen. But I want to say this tonight. I understand without a shadow of a doubt that everybody has their few ideas of how to fix it and how to get it right. Friend, our problem in America is not a right problem. It's not a mess. It's not a sickness problem, but it is a sin problem. And when we got away from preaching and the Word of God and what God has to say, we found ourselves in a storm. Amen. Listen, I'm telling you right now, if you got to be home listening to preaching, you turn that television off. You get all them distractions away from you. You listen to preaching. Amen. Listen, Paul said you should have hearkened unto me. Middle of the storm, ain't nothing like that. Some people get away from church. My soul, it ain't the time to get away from church. It's the time to run to church. Amen. It's not time to get away from the Word of God. It's time to get to the Word of God. The first statement you find in the middle of the storm is you should have hearkened unto me. Paul said you ought to listen to me. Wonder how many people got in trouble because they didn't listen to the preaching. Amen. I told people this, and I'm listening. I'm getting real close to adopting this into the Constitution of Calvary Baptist Church. I'm going to start charging $29.95 for counseling sessions. It's like a car salesman. If you come from me for counseling in my office, $29.95 a minute. You say, preacher, why would you do that? It's going to have a little parenthesis and clause. If you come to me and you want advice and I give you biblical advice and you listen to it, it's free. But if you go out of that room and do the opposite of what I just told you and God just told you, $29.95 a minute. I'm going to make them sign a contract. Amen. How many times have I told somebody, don't you marry that girl, don't you marry that guy, it ain't the will of God. How many times have I told somebody, don't be going to that place, don't do this, stay in church, stay with your family, and they walk out of my office and they don't listen to the man of God and they find themselves in a storm, and in the middle of that storm, I want to say what Paul said, you should have hearkened unto me. Am I right about it tonight? Thank God I'm glad as a young boy. Sometimes I was hard-headed, but I'm glad one day, hallelujah, I listened to the preacher. Amen. I'm glad one day I listened to the preacher. Thank God for that. I'm glad that I did. That's the first statement in the storm. Look back in chapter 27. I want you to look at verse number 31. Verse number 31, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. What a statement in the Word of God. You know what Paul was saying? Don't jump ship. Oh, it's going to get rough. And Euroclodon's going to shake us. And this little ship we're in is going to begin to lose some of its boards. And it's going to begin to shake. And water's going to go across its bow. And it's going to rock in the water. But Paul said, no matter what you do, hey, just stay with the ship. Hey, stay with the ship. Don't jump over. Lord, but stay with the ship. But I found out in our day and time, and no doubt about it, I found out in our day and time that we're really finding out who was really in to start with. Now I know right now, and listen, don't worry about it, you ain't got to vote me in, so I'll say this to you tonight. Don't you listen to me. I understand when you got to stay at home and you got a condition. I understand when you're concerned. But listen, friend, don't come to me and tell me you can't get to God's house, but then I go eat out to church and you're setting it out back. Amen. I had a pastor friend of mine last week, and somebody called him and said, Pastor, we was around somebody this week at school that had COVID-19, so we're not going to be able to be at church Sunday. So that's all right. I appreciate you taking care of folks, and thank you for doing that. He said he got done preaching, and he and his family went to get something to eat, and he looked over on side the road, and the booster club had a table up, and the very lady that told him that she couldn't be at church, I was over there selling t-shirts with a line of people at the table, instead of going to God's house, she was selling t-shirts. Why? Because simply she wasn't abiding with the ship. Amen. Don't know about you, buddy, but I miss church when I'm not in it. Listen, you can say what you want to, and I know every preacher here said this, but you can say what you want to. It's not the same in a car, talking to a phone. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you the truth. It's not the same wearing a white shirt and a tie with your pajama breeches on looking at a phone. It is not the same. Amen. I want you to know without a shadow of a doubt, and I hate you have to picture that, but I want you to know without a shadow of a doubt, we've got to abide with the ship. Paul said, you should have hearkened unto me, but then he said, except you abide with the ship, you cannot be saved. I don't know about you, but I'm way too far down the road on the ship to jump now. Hey, man. I don't know about you, buddy, but I need church now more than I've ever needed church. Can I get a little witness right here? I need God's people more now than I've ever needed God's people. I need somebody to tell me they love me. I need somebody to sing a song about the Lord. I need somebody to be faithful. I need somebody to get excited and shout and rejoice. Friend, can I tell you this? We got to abide with the ship. Amen. I'm talking about statements in the middle of the storm. First statement you find tonight, Paul said you should have hearkened unto me. Should have listened to the preacher. If you don't listen, $29.95 a minute. Amen. I might even go up. You should hearken to the preacher. Listen, thank God for the Word of God. But I want to say this to you. Not only should you say, you should hearken to the preacher, but then he said, except you abide with the ship, you cannot be saved. He said, don't jump ship. Stay in the ship. Amen. Amen. Praise God, man. I'll tell you, the first Sunday we got back in our building after we had that big, whatever it was, cluster, bomb, whatever it was. So I sat on the pulpit and cried, man, look at all them people. Folks I ain't seen in a while, knew what they've been going through. I'm glad I got a church. Amen. Thank God for the church. Amen. Y'all hold on. You know I don't preach long. Number three. Let me show you another statement. And this is weird in the middle of the storm. Verse 22. He said, now I exhort you. Watch this. To be of good cheer. Wait a minute. We're in the middle of Euryclidon. The ship is being tossed and thrown. The ship is in trouble. Man, it's going to break up, and it literally does. Because it wasn't named Zion. Say amen right there. Hey, but I'm telling you this, and then this preacher comes out and says, listen to me. Abide with the ship. And then he looks at us with the audacity, be of good cheer. Y'all pray for me. I tell people this everywhere I preach, but I'm married to Zippity-Doo-Dah. My wife has got to be one of the happiest. It amazes me sometimes. She's so happy sometimes she gets on my nerves. Personalities are so different. I guess that's why we've been married for 36 years of our lives. It's simply because you get to the place where I guess it's like negative and positive. It just works. The other day she told me, I told her, I said, man, I'm a little discouraged. You know, she said, you can't be discouraged. I said, don't tell me. Let me have one day of being discouraged. Leave me alone. I'm going to pull the covers over my head. I'm going to eat the biggest bag of M&M's, gain 10 pounds. I'm going to be discouraged for a little while. You can't do that. God's still on the throne. Amen. You know, she's exactly right. Paul walks up and he comes up and Paul says he's in the middle of a storm. And he said, be of good cheer. What kind of statement is that in the middle of a storm? Why did Paul make that statement? Let me show you. Two reasons. Number one, watch this. Paul made this statement. Now look back at it. I want you to see it. He said, for there stood by me this night the angel of God. You say, preacher, why did Paul say be of good cheer? He said be of good cheer because number one, are you ready? God's here. Y'all didn't get it. I said, God's here. Is anybody with me tonight? Can I tell you this, friend? You and I need to understand. God's not in the middle of this, sitting somewhere, popping Valium pills, turning white-headed, worried about a thing. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. Be of good cheer. God's here. In the middle of the storm. God's here. Paul, how do you know God's here? Just talk with him. in the middle of a storm, just talk with him. Says, angel of the Lord, just talk with him. God's here. God's here. Be a good cheer. Can I tell all of you this tonight? Listen, there is no doubt we need God here. And there is no doubt He is here. Amen. Praise God. I'm glad the Lord's here. I'm glad He's still here. I'm glad He'll be here tomorrow. I'm glad He'll be here a month from now. I'm glad He'll be here. If He don't call us home, He'll be with us 10 years from now. If God lets us live, He'd come up in the middle of that storm and said, hey, be a good cheer. The audacity of that preacher come up here in the middle of my storm and tell me to be a good cheer. Right? I'll tell you this. You can be a good cheer when God's here. Show you something else though. Look back in your Bible real quick. He said, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul. Then watch this. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Notice this. Paul said, be a good cheer because, number one, God's here. Second of all, because the future's set. Paul, I'm not done with your life yet. Paul, I'm not finished with your life yet. Paul, I got somewhere I need you to be. And all those that are with you, they're going to end up being with you too. Paul, I'm not going to leave you. Paul, I've got a plan for your life. Paul, I've got a destination for your life. I was asked a lot of questions during the time 72 of our members had this virus. And two of them, unfortunately, or I guess for them, fortunately, went home to be with the Lord. Both of the ones, it's amazing, but the ones that went home to be with the Lord were prayer warriors for me. They were ones that held up prayer for me. One of them, a lady, was one of the greatest prayer warriors I probably had in my ministry as a pastor. And you know, then we had a man, I told you, 50 days on a ventilator. Family called in that he was going to die at Iredell Hospital. They flew him to Duke. Within 3 days, they were seeing some improvement. Two Sundays ago, to God be the glory, he sat out in his car when we did a night service. And he sat out in his car outside a night service. And he was there. And I talked to him last night. And he's waving his hand out the window praising God. But the daughter of that lady that passed away, she said, Pastor, I don't get it. She said, you prayed for mama. I prayed for mama. She said, we prayed God would touch her. And I get those things. People ask me. And you know, when I was a younger preacher, before this gray hair come along, I would try to make up some statement like, well, you know, and I'd try to tell people how it does. I don't know. I'll just be totally honest with you. Sometimes the best thing I know to do is weep with them that weep and rejoice with them that rejoice and quit trying to figure God out because you don't always know what God's doing. But God did give me one thing to say to her. And I said to her, I said, Miss Angela, her future's set. She's finished her course. I said, your mama wanted to see Jesus more than anybody I have ever seen. She did. Her favorite statement was, bless His holy name. God get to move in our church. She'd stand up over there and she'd say, bless His holy name. Bless His holy name. Just a few years older than I am. Bless His holy name. She'd say, one day I'll get to see my Jesus. And I said to her daughter, I said, you got to understand, Brother Kevin's race isn't finished. You got to understand that her race was over. It was done. It was time for God. Because God, listen, God, our precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Preacher, will I ever be happy again? I would say to her, be of good cheer. God's here. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Not only is God here, but listen, the future's set. Everybody's concerned about the future, aren't they? I mean, they are. Amen. You're going to get lied to. Listen, you better turn that thing off that sits in your living room. You're going to get lied to so much. Lord, have mercy. By the way, that fox want to lie to you too. Don't you think they won't? It's ratings. But listen to me, future's set. God knows what He's doing. God's in control. You say, preacher, you're going to vote? I'm going to send 5 or 6 of them ballots in. Amen. Right? Let me give you a final statement in chapter 27 before I get in trouble. He said, first of all, statements in the middle of the storm, he should have hearkened unto me. Second of all, except you buy the ship, you cannot be saved. Third of all, be of good cheer. And then the great statement of chapter 27. Here's what he said in verse 25. I believe God. Amen. In the middle of the storm, who else do you have to believe but God? Amen. Our theme for 2020, after we got over the vision thing. It's funny, all of us had vision for our churches. Now we're just surviving, man, you know. Fooey on that vision thing. I saw where somebody said they wasn't even going to set the clock back on November 1st because they didn't want another hour of 2020. Amen. I can relate to that. Our theme for our church this year is God Can. It's been the theme the whole year. We have bumper stickers. We have T-shirts made for our members wearing them. Bumper stickers, people ask about them. The Ollis family's done a song they'll be doing on November 1st. We're having a God Can Sunday and the song God Can. And we're doing things like that. Why? Because I want people to know, hey, God still can. God is still able. God can still do this. Brother Tim, in the middle of all this, and some of y'all know, we were starting our building program. I don't need but $2.8 million. God can. Since COVID come, might be able to downsize it a little bit. I found out some of them wasn't with me. But don't you listen to me. All that going on don't change the fact that God can. Matter of fact, I'll tell you something, blow your mind. We support 200 missionaries around the world through our mission program. Almost $200,000 a year has to go out of our church for missions. I don't know how this has happened, but our mission budget has increased during COVID. We have more money to give to missionaries than we have ever had. And I hate to say that, some place is going to have a line waiting on me, but we have more than we're able to give to missionaries than I've ever seen at our church. God can't. God can. Just a few little statements in the middle of the storm. Euroclodon. Ships getting battered. Amen. I don't believe the ship of Zion's going to come in all beat up and tattered and barely making it. Because we got a different captain. I'm looking forward to the day God says, lay your oars down. Pull in the sails. Amen. But I don't say this to you. There's going to be more storms than this one. I've been saved a lot of years. Been preaching 38 years of my life. Most of it pastoring. I'm going to tell you right now, there's a lot of storms. God still can. Paul said, I believe God. Let me ask you a question. Do you still believe Him? Now, I'll be honest. I'm really superficial. I don't mind being honest. Brother Gary, there's been a few times, boy, I've struggled. Y'all ever do that? Any of y'all? I know most of y'all probably, I saw a bunch of wings and halos hanging in the back when I came in, but I put my horns out there, you know. Had there been times you just, God, what are you doing? God, where you at? You ever been there? I'm not just talking about through COVID. I'm talking through a lot of stuff. He's the same place he's always been. Doing the same thing he's always done. He's still God. Amen. So when you read chapter 27, remember those statements in the storm. And remember that God can speak to you in the storm as well. Let's stand together tonight with our heads bowed. Father, thank you tonight for the precious word of God. Thank you for camp meeting. Thank you, God, tonight for these that have made their way to this old-fashioned arbor. God, there's been many great things done under this roof of this arbor in many, many years. Great men of God have walked into this pulpit and preached. Lord, we're living in a different day than we've ever seen. But God, you're still in control. And Lord, tonight, maybe somebody underneath this tabernacle came to this camp meeting going through a storm. And they're just needing, Lord, a word from you in the storm. And God, I pray tonight that you would touch that person and help them tonight. God, to realize, abide with the ship. Listen to the preacher. Be of good cheer. I believe God. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.